If you got your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. It's going to take me about half the message to get there, but I will get there. And when I get there, you'll be there at that point, 1 Thessalonians 5. It's good. In the middle of Psalm 139, David wrote these memorable lyrics. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. In Jeremiah 29, we have these famous foundational words. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you. Romans 12, Paul wrote, just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. So none of us are here by accident today. And none of us are here without a purpose. And none of us are an end in ourselves. All of us are God's workmanship. And God is always at work in and through all of us. God is always at work. Now, whether we acknowledge that or not is our choice. But whether we acknowledge it or not does not change the truth of it. God is at work in the middle of our lives all the time. And into each of our lives, God has made an investment of time, talent, and treasure. Some of us are born with more. Some of us are born with less. But whatever we have related to time, talent, and treasure is intended to affect and shape our priorities. And whatever we have calls for and requires our stewardship. Time, talent, and treasure is not given to us exclusively for ourselves and for our own good. Instead, time, talent, and treasure is also given to us so that we can more effectively love and serve other people. And remember this, our time, talent, and treasure, none of it's ours anyway. Every bit of it is on loan to us from God. And there's coming a day when we will give an account to the Lord for what we have or have not done with the time and the talent and the treasure that he's given us. Just handing back exactly what we were given in the same form that we received it, that'll be a mistake. If we just give back what we were given without increase, we will have failed to honor the Lord with our lives. We will have lived a life that disobeyed God's intentions and his very clear instructions. Sometimes when you get wiped out in the spirit, the mistake you make is you get up too fast. Just chill. That's good. I've done it many times myself. You're on the floor and your brain's going, okay, something else is going on. The preacher's talking. You better get up. No, go ahead and get what God's doing. Whatever he's doing in your lives is more important than anything I'm saying right now. So that's okay. All right. So if we give back without increase, we won't honor the Lord with our lives. We will have disobeyed his intention and his clear instructions. If we give back without increase, we will not have lived a life worthy of the calling that we've received. So this weekend, as we continue this series about time, talent, and treasure, I want to focus on what I believe is the motivation that sparks the healthy, God-honoring growth and development of all that God has entrusted to us. I believe God has created and fashioned all of us to be givers, to live as givers. In Acts 20, Paul reminded the Ephesian elders of these life-shaping words of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Giving is obedience to God. Giving demonstrates our submission to his lordship. Giving exhibits God's heart in the world today through our lives. And giving time, talent, and treasure advances God's kingdom. The pure word says it this way, it is much more spiritually blessed to give than to receive. The Amplified says, it is more blessed, makes one happier and more to be envied to give than receive. An Aramaic idiom is, blessed are those who try to give more than they've been given. And the Message Bible says it this way: you'll not likely go wrong here if you keep remembering that our Master said, you're far happier giving than getting. You're far happier giving than getting. Now, like so many things that Jesus taught, that whole idea that it's more blessed to give than receive runs against the grain of our natural self-protecting interests and instincts. But as we work out our salvation, and as we surrender the control of our lives, our thoughts, our passions, and our desires to Him, God transforms our gimme, gimme hearts into a heart like His, into a heart that gives. And as we're being made new in the attitude of our minds, we learn that how we give makes a difference. In 2 Corinthians 9, Paul wrote, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should give what they decide in their hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, supplying the needs of God's people and overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So I believe we live with an obligation. We have an obligation to use our time, our talent, and our treasure. We have an obligation to use that which God has entrusted to us for the good of God's people. And for the record, God's people, in God's eyes, is every single person on the planet. That's how He thinks about it. Every single person on the planet qualifies as God's people. So we do well to think about every person on the planet the same way He does. In God's sovereignty, He allows us to choose how we give. We can give sparingly. We can give generously. We can give grudgingly. We can give cheerfully. And our choices create corresponding consequences. If we want to be aligned with God's giving heart, if we want to line up right with Him, then we just need to learn to be more and more responsive to the voice of the Holy Spirit in us. So many times we let our mind talk us out of what God told us to do. You have that thought and you go, oh, that can't be God. Or you have that thought and you think, oh, that's the weirdest thought in the world. No, that couldn't be. That must not be God. And we talk ourselves right out of it. And instead of listening to that voice, we just let our mind lead the way and we do whatever makes sense to us. Fortunately, we have a God who's very patient, very faithful. Those situations come, He waits to be asked. Doesn't force Himself upon us. Situations come, we ignore it, we go our own way. It's like, okay, well, let's see how that works for you. Try that and see how it works. I'll still be here when you come back. Because He knows the process, and He's calling us to His voice. And you know what happens when we've missed His voice? He whispers to us again. That's how good He is. It's not like, okay, you're not listening, I'm not talking. No, He just whispers to us again. He whispers to us again. Without any external or internal manipulation, we can and we should hear the Lord. We should ask Him. And then when He speaks to us, just do what He says. Obedience is such a simple thing. You just do what you're told. You go where He goes. You follow where He leads. You do what you sense that He's doing. And as we do that, as we do what He puts in our hearts to do, there is this incredible joy and freedom. It doesn't matter what the cost is. It doesn't matter what the cost is to our time, our talent, our treasure. It's what He said to do, and we get to do it. It's like, yes, I know that voice. I know His desire. I know the pleasure of obeying and honoring the thing that He said. The cost is irrelevant because we trust that when He says to do it, He works out everything. And God loves it when we give cheerfully. And God loves it when we give generously. But listen to me. It's more blessed to give than receive does not mean that we should be resistant to receiving. When many, many years ago when Cindy and I were dating, the office that we worked at was on a street in a neighborhood, and there was a man that lived across the street from our office, Mr. Finley. And Mr. Finley would get up every morning and get every newspaper that was thrown on that street and put it on the doorstep. So he'd take it from the curb and put it at the doorstep, up and down the whole block. He was in his 80s. And that was just his habit. He did it every single morning. He'd greet you with a cheery hello when you got there. It was his street. He was watching over it. And then Mr. Finley's health began to decline. And so then we tried to start loving back on Mr. Finley. He couldn't take it. He couldn't take it. He was a giver off the charts, but he could not receive. Listen, I know it's more blessed to give than receive. But when God reaches out and wants to bless us, and we resist receiving, we're stealing the blessing of giving from someone else. The healthiest people I know, the healthiest givers I know, are secure and free enough to receive. I know it's humbling. Take it. It's good. It's good. God is so creative and so faithful how he wants to bless us. Sometimes it's like out of nowhere, straight from him. But a lot of times it comes through people that we know. Because we are his hands and we are his feet. And so it's more blessed to give than receive, yes, but don't be resistant to receiving. In fact, when Jesus sent out the 12 on their first solo ministry trip, he gave them these specific instructions. Freely you have received, so freely give. See, it's got to start there. Anything that we have to give didn't start with us anyway. Anything that we have to give has been given to us. We've received it. Freely you've received, freely give. The truth is that God's really stacked the deck in our favor. He prepares good works for us to do in advance. He gives us everything we need for life and godliness. And then whatever we give is given back to us. The law of reciprocity is a foundational truth of the gospel of the kingdom. In Luke 6:38, Jesus said it this way, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your laps, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." However, here's another place that we have to be very careful. Give, and it will be given to you. Let's not fall into the deceptive trap of the so-called prosperity gospel, because that's no gospel at all. Give, and it will be given to you. Let's not fall into desires. Give, and it will be given to you. Oh, gimme, 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 gimme. That's a trap too. That's a trap too. Give, and it will be given to you. That truth is not the motivation for giving. The blessing of a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over and poured into our laps, is a reward, not a motivation. The reward for living as a giver, the reward for truly being a giver, is a blessed life. And the healthiest motivation that compels us to be a giver of our time and our talent and our treasures is the consistent practice of expressive gratitude and thankfulness to God. Many years ago, Andre Crouch wrote a song called My Tribute. It starts like this: "How can I say thanks for the things you've done for me? Things so undeserved, and yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels cannot express my gratitude. All that I have or ever hope to be, I owe it all to you." You see, that's the life perspective that is God's will for each one of us to live from every moment of every day. How can I say thanks? What words can I do? What sacrifice can I make? What expression can come from my life to thank the Lord for all that he has done for me and is doing for me and still has planned for me? A million angels can express the gratitude that's there. We can all live from that place. Which gets us to 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." The verse notators of the Bible made three verses out of one of Paul's sentences. But each phrase is worth its own voice, because each phrase is so packed with wisdom and revelation waiting to be applied. Be joyful always. This joy is a primary verb in the Greek. King James says, rejoice evermore. I think this joy is the fertile soil for an expressively grateful life. When our life is saturated with joy and God throws more seed into it, it is good soil. The Greek says for this joy, it means it's to be full of cheer, to be calmly pleased, to be well off. This kind of joy brings an internal light inside of us when things around us get dark. This kind of joy is a cool breeze when things get hot and heavy. This kind of joy is a settled place inside of us. It's not hip, happy, goofy, silly. This kind of joy is something settled inside of us that's not based on any external condition or situation. This kind of joy wins the day even when we're not happy. Do you know that we are not created to be happy all the time? Dr. Carolyn Leaf wrote something this week. She said, in my practice, in my travels, and in my research, I've often observed that many people equate individual happiness with the good life, and they pursue it as an end goal. And when they don't get what they want, or when positive affirmations and self-help techniques do not work, they're at a loss, and they think they're not good enough and cannot be fixed, which creates all sorts of identity and mental health problems. Yes, it's good to be happy, but that is not all life is. And it is perfectly okay to experience emotions like sadness and grief when things don't work out, which often happens because we're not in control of everything. When we learn from these experiences, it's how we grow and mature as human beings. It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel the range of emotions. These emotions are signals that we actually need to listen to, not try to suppress, and not try to cover up with quote-unquote happiness. We really aren't designed to be happy and get what we want all the time. That reminded me of something when we were raising our kids. You know, you get five kids in the house, and everybody can't get what they want when they want it all the time. And so me being a little bit of a dad joke and a psalmist, came up with this little song, you can't always have what you want when you want it, and that's okay. And then I start snapping, you can't always have what you want when you want it, and that's okay. You know, the kids never really appreciated that very much, but. And the crazy thing is, whenever you come up with a song like that for your kids, and then you're in that situation where you're not getting what you want, you hear God singing, you can't always have what you want. Right back at you. Right back at you. This joy is a deep-seated contentment not directly connected to getting. And sometimes this joy is a sacrifice of praise. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It's like that. It's like that. It comes up inside of us, and it settles us. In Hebrews 13, it says, this joy is the fruit of lips that confess Jesus' name. This joy comes from the place like, I'm not enjoying this right now, and this does not feel good, and I'm not really even happy about it, but you're with me. You're with me. You're in this. This joy, full of cheer, it's the Lord cheering us on. You can do it. Don't stop. Stay the course. This seems too much for me. It's not. I'm with you. This seems overwhelming. I'm exhausted and tired. You got one more lap and you go again and watch and see. It's that source of his voice inside of us that sustains us. But sometimes we choose to embrace it as a sacrifice of praise. Pray continually. King James Version says, pray without ceasing. Be unceasing in prayer. Praying persevering is what the Amplified says. This kind of prayer is the fertilizer that helps joy spring up into an expressively grateful life, no matter what, good or bad. This kind of prayer is the fertilizer. The soil is good with joy, but we put this fertilizer on it, now we get super growth taking place. In the Greek, this prayer is active. It means to pray earnestly, to supplicate. It can even mean to worship. And as we stay engaged in an active, ongoing, conversational relationship and dialogue with God, something amazing starts happening. We stop just praying, and there's no such thing as just praying. There's no such thing as just praying. But we stop saying prayers, and we become prayer. It's who we are. Now, there's a time and there's a place to just set apart and be with God, to be in that quiet place in your house or to be on your knees or whatever, to bow your head and close your eyes and commune with God like that. So precious, so valuable, so important. But listen, you can't live like that all the time. You can't drive like that. You can't go into HEB like that. You can't go to work and school like that. So we have to learn how, with our eyes open, to be engaged in the conversation with God all day long. Talking to him all day long, asking him when we're going up, give me one of those good parking places that I need because I'm in a little bit of a hurry today. Or when I'm walking through the store, would you lead me to the good deals? Or more, would you lead me to somebody that could be blessed by a good word today, or somebody that's got a good word for me? We're in that kind of conversation with him. And now it's like something that we're doing all the time, not just, check, I had my prayer time today. No, I am my prayer time. You are your prayer time. It's how we're called to live. It's who God has created us to be. That kind of fellowship with him. It's how we live. It's how we move. It's how we breathe. And when we become prayer, it cuts the legs out of anxiety. Every form of anxiety loses its grip on our lives. And as we become prayer and anxiety loses its grip, something happens. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, starts guarding our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. It's such a win. It's such a win. Just talk to God all the time. You feeling stressed? Stop thinking about that and talk to God about it. Yeah, but he might not like what I have to say. He's heard it before. Have you read the Psalms? He's heard it all. He's heard it all. He even put some of it in the book. The mistake we make is we disengage from the conversation. No matter what, stay engaged in the conversation with God. And as we stay engaged in the conversation, his peace comes to guard our hearts and guard our minds. And I'm telling you, his peace can so much better guard our hearts and our minds than anything that we could do in and of ourselves. So be joyful always, pray continually, which sets the table for the unqualified direction to give thanks in all circumstances. For real? In all circumstances, you don't understand what's going on in my life. And before you try to write that off, I want you to remember who the Holy Spirit inspired to write this. Paul. And I don't know what you've been through, but I don't know if what you've been through stacks up with what he went through and what he had been through when he wrote this. And he still came to the conclusion, be joyful always, pray continually, and in all circumstances, give thanks. This kind of giving thanks is a learned discipline. It's an ability to trust God without having to understand. We just choose to thank him. We choose to acknowledge he is with us. His presence is there in the middle of our circumstances. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. But then Paul took it up to another level by saying all three of those things are God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Through the years, I've met a lot of folks who spend a lot of time trying to discover and discern what God's will for their lives was. And the answer is found right here in one sentence turned into three verses. When we live like this, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. And as this becomes who we are, not just what we're trying to do, but it's who we are, it is so easy for God to direct our steps right into the place that he's created for us. When we live like this, it's so easy for God to open the doors that we walk through, and we step into places of favor, and we step into places of blessing. Sometimes we step into places that are a mess, but we're there to fix the mess. We step right into the moment, right into the thing that he has created us to do. Right in the middle of his will. And when we get there, in and through whatever job or responsibility that comes with there, and through every season of our lives, these three things remain constant. Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. When I was younger, my dad used to talk to me a lot about attitudes of gratitude. It was a major theme of his life. My dad had a lot of little sayings like that, like, how's your PMA, which meant your positive mental attitude. And you're supposed to answer, boy, am I enthusiastic. And he loved things like that. And he talked a lot about attitudes of gratitude. And what he taught me growing up is the enemy of attitudes of gratitude is what my dad called stinking thinking. So sometimes I'd come to him with a situation, he'd say, that's stinking thinking. We need to get to attitudes of gratitude. And it is so true that as we adjust the attitude in our mind, as we cultivate thankfulness in our lives, when whatever we do, whether it's in word or deed, we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him, then we find ourselves moving with the proper motivation for the investment of our time and our talent and our treasure. Being expressively grateful and thankful people keeps us present tense aware of all that we have received and are receiving even right to this moment. And the extravagant generosity of God, as we recognize it and as we see it, how can we help but not be givers like him? When we see what he's doing, it just calls us to be like him. We're made rich in every way so that we can be generous in every occasion. And as we overflow with gratitude towards God, the most natural thing in all the world to do is to honor the Lord with all that he's entrusted to us. When we overflow with gratitude towards God, the most natural thing in all the world to do is to obey and to walk out his intentions for us. To step into our place as the salt of the earth and as the light of the world. When we live thankful beyond thankfulness, we stay salty. And we live thankful beyond thankfulness. Our gratitude affects who we are and how we show up every day. And our light shines in a different way. And our light is seen in an overflowing, abundant amount of good and beautiful deeds that sometimes even when people make fun of us about, in the end, they can't deny there's something different about that person. There's something that's in them. What is it that makes you that way? Why are you so settled? Why aren't you stressed? Why are you so kind? Why are you so steady? Why are you so connected? Who is it that you're connected to? Let your light shine before people so people can see your good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. That's the way this works. And when we live like that, we're living a life that's worthy of our calling. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you. I thank you that we don't have the vocabulary to thank you for all that you do for us. But I pray across the board in every person here, you'll increase the vocabulary we use to express our gratitude and thanks to you every day. You really are an amazingly generous, kind, loving, faithful, merciful God. You don't ever treat us as we deserve to be treated. You always treat us better than we've earned or could ever deserve. Lord, help us just disconnect more and more from the gimme, gimme heart. We want your heart. We want to live from that place of communion, that place of fellowship, that place of release, that place of freedom to give our time and our talent and our treasure hilariously, sowing it in for the advancing of the kingdom. Lord, all of creation is yearning and longing for sons and daughters of God to live that way. And let us be some of those. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.